If you would, please sing with us. If you don't know the song, you'll learn it. Scripture comes from Acts 9,
31st chapter. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers.
I'd like to share with you this morning the subject, the ideal church. If you'll look with me at Acts chapter 9 and that verse that Brother Curtis read, and we're going to look this morning at finding a perfect church. Not a perfect church, but an ideal church. There are many people who are looking, of course, for a perfect church, and if you are, keep looking. You're not going to find it here. But we're going to look at this morning at what I believe is the ideal church, and it's found in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. And what I mean by that, what I think God wants us to learn, is that we won't be a perfect church because we're not perfect people. We're very imperfect. We're all sinners. We're saved by grace, but we still sin. We still have our human frailties and imperfections. But here is a church like that, a church that was full of human beings. And anytime you have human beings in an organization, you're going to have an imperfect organization. But we are a body. We are the body of Christ. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, that scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. But I want us to look this morning at this verse here that says that the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. Now, why that is significant is that because before that, there was anything but peace. Paul was wreaking havoc. No, Paul wasn't wreaking havoc. Paul had been saved. But he had wreaked havoc before that. He was kind of the one in charge of persecuting the church. And Paul had become saved by this time, and he had been sent away to Tarsus, I believe. In verse 30 there, it says that they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Now that was a sad goodbye. But it, I think, was needed. It was needed not only for Paul, but it was needed for the church. There's a time for controversy, and there's also a time for rest and for healing. And the church needed that time of healing. And so it says that the church was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Well, what does it mean to be an ideal church? Well, here I see that the church was pacified, and I want to explain that. It didn't mean that they were like a bunch of babies that needed binkies shoved in their mouths, although some churches you might like to do that, just to shut people up. But no, I think it means that here was a church that had learned what Jesus came to do. He came to be the Prince of Peace. And he wants to bring peace in our hearts. He wants to bring peace in a church. He wants a church to experience that peace that passes all understanding. I think in this world in which we live, where there is so little peace, people crave that. They crave to find a haven where everything isn't like you find it in the world, where things are done in a way that soothe and bring peace to the heart. Well, here is a church that is pacified. It says here, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. So, pacified. I don't have my clicker. It's defining. Well, what that word means there is that it's the word that we get our word. Anybody here named Irene?
What?
No, Irene. How about a middle name?
I'll be Irene.
Okay. I thought one of you men would volunteer.
My mama.
And I'm not surprised that it was Dale. So is that your third middle name? Irene? Dale?
Dale.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Well, that'll you'll serve as a good example then.
Mine went to find yours.
It may have been gone before, but no, I don't think so. No, I appreciate you, Dale. Appreciate you volunteering. Irene means peace. It's a Greek word. Andy, you probably know that. It's a word taken from the Greek that means peace. Well, here's a church that had learned how to be at peace with one another, and at peace with God, more importantly. But if we are at peace with God, we're going to be at peace with one another, and we're going to be peacemakers. Here was a church, it says, that enjoyed a time of peace. Now, I've been in some churches that seem to love a good fight, and I think people would come to business meetings just to see a fight, and there were actually fights that broke out. Well, I think that is certainly contrary to the spirit of Christ. Did not Jesus say that if someone smites you on the cheek, turn the other? And we are to be peacemakers, rather. We are to be like Jesus. We are to be bringing the balm of peace to people's lives. And that church, if anywhere, ought to be a haven of peace. It should be the church. The church and the family, I would say. The family is certainly primary because that's where we spend most of our time, is with our family. But the church ought to be like a family large, a family enlarged, so to speak. A family that has learned to live in the peace of Christ. So Peace defined. And then secondly, peace refined. That this church had been through some really difficult times, some times when you would wonder if you hadn't read the latter chapters of the book of Acts, if that church would even survive. James had been killed, one of the disciples of Jesus. And now they had recently thrown Peter in jail. And there were threats against others of the disciples. I believe there were others of the Christian faith who were imprisoned, persecuted. But the church had been refined. I think sometimes we need to go through those hard times because we need the refining fires of God's Spirit and His work in our lives. We need to be refined. We need to be purified. I believe it was Jeremiah that says, who said, when He has tried me, I will come forth as gold. So here's a church pacified. It's defining, it's refining, and then it's finding. There are people today looking for that place, that kind of Shangri-La, if you will. The church where they just really feel like, oh, I finally got there. I finally found it. I finally found the church that's really worthy of me. You know, very humble approach. A lot of people have that approach. Well, you know, I got to find that perfect church. Well, once you do, of course, it's not going to be perfect anymore because you're there. So we find those things out, don't we? But here's a church that we find that has learned to live in the peace of Christ. But then secondly, not only here's a church pacified, but a church edified. It says here that it was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. So it was edified by dedication. I don't have my notes. I'd like to say that it's all up here, but that went out there. But by dedication. They were dedicated, weren't they? Then someone say, well, you know, where do you see this about people becoming members? Well, I think it's the same as with marriage. You know, we say, well, you know, why do we have to be married? We're committed to one another. But there's something that happens when you stand before others and you say those vows, those wedding vows. It becomes public. It becomes a public declaration of your commitment, of your covenant to live together till death do you part as husband and wife. Well, as a church, we may not live together as death till death do us part. Some may. But we may not. God may lead us somewhere else. And in that case, we should, as soon as we arrive in another place, we should seek the Lord's leading. He will lead us to a place where we can become a member of that body. And I think that's all membership is. Recognizing that God has called us to be a part of His body. That we are going to commit ourselves and dedicate ourselves to being faithful to that particular body. Faithful to that place of service where God has called us. Not only are we called to grow together, and then that's one way that we grow, by feeding on the Word of God, but also we grow by serving one another. Well, here's a church that was edified by dedication, and then secondly, by education, strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Strengthened. I believe that word there implies strengthened by growing spiritually. And how we grow spiritually, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so everywhere this book has gone, people have been educated. They've been educated to read. Most of the schools, certainly here in this country, but in other countries that once were not Christian countries, but those wherever the good news of Christ has come, people have wanted to read the Bible for themselves, and has provided an impetus for education. But we ought to also educate within the church, because that's what we did, that the people did here. If you'll look and study at the book of Acts, you'll find that here was a church that grew by doctrine, by studying the Word together, by teaching, by spending time together, because as we share with one another, we learn. That's one of the ways we learn. That's why schools have people in them. They don't just, well, you know, here's the books, go out and study for yourself, and then we'll have an exam in 6 weeks. Well, that may work with some, but generally we need to be together with others. That's why we have colleges and institutions of higher education, we call them. But here was a church that was edified by dedication, by education, and by proclamation. If you remember in Acts chapter 2 that it says that they responded to the preaching of Peter, and 4,000 were saved that very day because the Word of God was preached. And we need to major on the things that this church majored on. Again, this, I believe, is the ideal church. This is the church, I believe, that God wants us to model ourselves after. So a church that is pacified here, a church that is edified, and then thirdly, a church that is multiplied. Here it says it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. It grew in numbers. Well, it was positioned for growth, wasn't it? It was in the place where God wanted it to be. And we are where God wants us to be. Now, I know we would say, well, you know, if God would take this church and plop it down someplace where there are more people. I mean, most of the people in Modoc are, we would say, if they're not reached, they should have been, or they had an opportunity to be. I'm not sure that's true. I think there are a lot of people here in Modoc to be reached. Only a very small percentage of people here, even in our county, ever attend church on a given Sunday. I know where most of the churches are, and I know that if you add up all the numbers of the people that attend, I doubt whether it's more than 10% of our population. I think we're maybe one of the least churched areas of our state. I think we're going to, I know you can't tell this morning, we're kind of puny number-wise, but I think one of these Sundays we're going to go to 150.
Amen.
We had over 100 here Easter Sunday morning, praise God. But I know the Memorial Day weekend's coming up, maybe we, you know, shouldn't pray for 250 then, but who knows what God can do. But God has many that He wants us to reach. He has positioned us for growth. And if we're not growing, if a church is not growing, it's like a body, a child that comes into the world. If that child doesn't grow, there's something wrong, because growth is natural. And I think that if the other conditions are met, God has promised that that church is going to grow. If we are healthy, if we are feeding on His Word, and we crave, like the Bible says, the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. And we are going to grow. In the practice of that church, it says that it grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. It grew in numbers. I think it grew not just naturally, but supernaturally. It realized, the people there realized that God had put them there to reach other people. And so they invited their friends and neighbors. And we know that they, when they worshiped together, their worship was real. It wasn't just ritual. People wanted to be a part of it. They heard the sound. And we didn't open the windows this morning. I wish we had. Because I think when the sound gets out, then people, they hear and they want to be a part of what God is doing. If God indeed is there and being worshipped. And people are joyous in their worship of the Lord. Then people are going to come. I think, you know, we couldn't even keep them from coming if we wanted to, which I'm sure we don't. But here is a church that multiplied because of its position, because of its practice, and thirdly, because of its power. Here it says that they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. I think we've only scratched the surface of that power. And it's not us. It's not anything that any of us do. It's Him. He deserves all the glory and the praise. But I believe that God is calling people to Himself today. And He wants us to be like that ideal church. He wants us to be, first of all, at peace with Him and at peace with one another. And then He wants us to be growing. He wants us to be edified, to be built up. Now, that wasn't talking about a building, because they didn't have a building. It was talking about being built up in their faith, being built up in numbers, being built up in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it says that they grew in numbers. And we know that that wasn't just, you know, a trickle, but that was a mighty stream. Because what God does, He does in a big way. Our God is a big God. So let's just let Him do His work. Get out of the way. Kind of set aside our personal preferences and our petty differences. And let's just see what God can do through us.